Hey, Potters! Welcome to episode 188 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Winter is coming!
No,
which
it's
I
not.
Mean, winter has come because, oh my god, it's cold.
Well, I mean, it's not cold, it's cooler. Depending
compared
on where you live.
Like summer.
Depending on where you live, it's questionable.
We suddenly got a cold front, you guys. After it was a toasty weekend at Fan Expo, which is where I was last weekend. And now I have two sweaters on because it's cold.
By the way, I'm Valerie. That one's Amber.
Hi.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's nice. I mean, I was able to go out and do my worky things today and it was very comfortable. I didn't have to put on globs of sunscreen. I was very thankful for that.
See, today would have been a great day for cosplay.
Yeah, because it's just cool enough that you can get stuff done. Plus the fact that it had some good cloud cover. You didn't have to worry about really bright sunlight messing with your photos. Good diffused lighting.
As for our normal segment of our cosplay updates, unfortunately, I actually don't really have much because unfortunately I have been working on other things. Deedlet is actually sitting about 10 feet from me, pinned together, awaiting construction. It's awaiting being sewn together and then it will be done. I've actually gone through and checked some of my old accessories, as it were. Thankfully, they still fit. Man, I was a novice sewer when I made that. I am very ashamed at my raw edges and my fraying fabric.
I think we all are at that time. Like, I mean, let's be honest though. When we first start out sewing, especially in cosplay, regardless of our skill level, even if we're like master seamstresses, we still make a lot of very novice mistakes without realizing it until many years later when we're reviewing these costumes and going, oh, what was I thinking? It's part of the learning process.
I know what I was thinking is how fast can I get this finished in time for Project Akon?
Okay, there you go.
But now that I'm going back to it, you know, years later and just looking at it with my, you know, larger volume of silver hair and experience, yeah, I definitely could have done a better job. But everything still fits and I can fix the frayed edges, thankfully, and I can stitch everything back together more firmly and more professionally. So I will be going back and renewing some of my accessories. The leather accessories are actually really good.
Good.
I don't have to remake any of the, it's actually vinyl. It's faux leather. It's pleather, but they're still like really well made. So I don't have to fix any of those accessories, just the fabric ones. And of course, you know, acquire new ears. Because as you guys saw last episode with my episode of Fun with Spirit Gum, they don't last forever. And thankfully, neither does the spirit gum in your hair, which I did finally get out. It was not pleasant.
She makes it sound like it took her a whole 2 weeks to get out. It really didn't.
No, it didn't, but it took quite a bit of scrubbing that didn't feel good. Not to mention, I have very long sideburns, which you can't see because I have them pinned up right now with a barrette, but I have a lot of long hair in that area, so there's a lot to get spirit gum out of. I am not going to shave my sideburns. All right, your turn.
All right, my turn. So I'm going to start off with a screen share. So I post everything on Instagram and Facebook now because it makes it so much easier. So what I've been doing is a lot more working and work and work and work. So I haven't really had a whole lot of time to do sewing. But in between like rendering and or if like I have a long game cutscene that I really can't skip through, I've been patterning. And it's gotten to the funny point of where I'm like over patterning and I'm making all these weird little marks and this is kind of absurd levels of marking, but I figure as long as I understand what all of this means, it's fine. It is actually working because I have like started making things come together. Hang on. This is a very white garment. So I'm going to put it up immediately after it's done. See, I understand. I know where things go. It's okay. I decided over the May the 4th to work on my Amidala headpiece because the last time I had it on, it was very uncomfortable and very heavy. And I told myself after that day, only wearing it after an hour, I am going to fix this. And it's been almost 2 years and I'm finally like, hey, I'm going to fix it now. So it was basically me having to go through, wash out the wig, taking out a bunch of the wefts, straightening the wig, cleaning it. This took like half a day. And most of it was just sitting and waiting on it to dry because I like to let things air dry. I don't like let things blow dry. But that's the pile of wefts I took out.
It's almost a wig's worth of wefts.
It pretty much is. I didn't realize I had put that many in it until I took it all out and I was like, oh, no wonder the wig felt heavy. This explains so much. And then what I am doing for the weird little conch pieces, they use a type of flexible plastic to make it. So I'm going to use foam clay. And I do have those with me. They're still sort of drying. One thing I've noticed about these pieces, the thicker and larger with the foam clay is, even if you have it like a thin layer, it still takes a while for it to dry. You're supposed to give it a 48-hour cure time. Give it even longer than that. I had a piece that I messed up on accident and I took some time to try to reshape it. And I was like, fudge it, I'll just toss it. But just for fun, I started tearing it in half. And it had been dry for 3 days, but the inside was still kind of soft. So I was like, oh, that's not helpful. So give it like a good week of drying. Don't assume that it's dry in 48 hours. But yeah, anyway, I have made so many pieces out of foam clay now. And the reason I wanted to do this is because I wanted something light, but I also wanted something to be very flexible. So literally, it's just pop on my head in the back, and then I'm done. I am going to put little combs on the edges of these so that way they kind of stick into the wig a little bit better. Still waiting on them to dry just a little bit more for extra security. And then I'll be using the Hex Flex paint to seal it and paint it, of course. And then after that, I can put on the pearls and be a happy camper and be so much more satisfied than what I had made previously. And hopefully, I don't accidentally over bedazzle it. But the other thing was because of the way that hair curves in the back and kind of why I wanted to use foam, so it's a little bit more flexible, is so I can just kind of easily do that. And I know it's going to be lightweight and it'll wrap itself around kind of neatly. And then this kind of came to me at random because I was like, okay, wait, if I let this sit flat, it's going to develop a flat surface on one side, and I don't want that to happen. It needs to be round all the way. So I decided to attach it to my bottles of tacky glue and Hex Flex, as you saw in the photo. It ended up working really nicely because now the flat surface is on the inside, so it'll be nice and flush against the hair. That was completely unintentional, but I'm glad that it worked out that way. So yeah, that's pretty much all I've got. It's mostly been Val has been working her day job a lot, so she doesn't have a whole lot to share like she wants to. Yay! Yes, I am 100% certain that they will keep their flex after completely drying, Allie. I saw your question. Because of the way that the foam is set up, and I did it at a curve, it will definitely maintain its flexibility. Now, I can overflex it and crack it. I mean, that is always going to be a possibility. As long as I don't overdo it, then we're good. They're probably going to stay in the wig permanently anyway, but it's just nice knowing that they're lightweight, much more lightweight than plastic could possibly be. That's all I got.
I will say that bottles in general of things like Mod Podge and tacky glue, and even just 2 liter bottles, are wonderful for shaping round things.
Oh, very much so.
That also includes armor. I regularly shape my armor around 2 liter bottles. They're nice and convenient and they're recyclable. And you can always pad them if you need more circumference when you have like larger round things.
Or if you're trying to applique some circles, like the bottom of a bottle is a great way to make a circle, because try freehanding it. It's hard.
Alternatively, oddly enough, and I didn't know this for a long time, they actually sell templates for circles and squares and sometimes odd shapes in the same area that you can purchase French curves, which is in the quilting section. So if you ever just want a solid plastic template that you can reuse over and over again with different sizes of different shapes, check the quilting section of your local craft store.
There's lots of hidden gems in the craft store.
The craft booking section also, or the scrapbooking section also has craft templates, since people typically use those to cut out shapes.
And they've been adding more and more lately as like the cry cuts have been becoming incredibly popular. So you're seeing more of those templates made available, which is really nice.
Yep, and you don't have to have a Cricut machine to be able to use it. All right. We will move on.
Yep,
to
it's
our
your turn.
Kinexo review. It's my turn to talk.
This is all about Amber, so have fun,
Oh
Amber.
no. Yeah,
Bye.
please don't make this all about me.
It's the Amber Show, starring Amber.
Oh wow, we're getting a theme song now.
Val is really tired this week, so welcome to loopy time. Go, Amber, have fun.
All right, so I'm sure that Val knows some of what I'm about to talk about because she has been to Fan Expo before. I have not. So this was actually the first time I have ever been at any sort of Comic-Con or Fan Expo type event before. I've never been to anything that is not an anime con or a Renaissance festival. So this is kind of my first general convention. So forgive me if I end up kind of repeating myself or being a little bit in awe because that about sums up my experience at the convention. And yes, she noted we did get a fancy badge, and I will go over the badge thing here shortly. And I wanted to begin with holy cow. If you thought Akon had a lot of people, Akon has nothing on Fan Expo, man. So for those who complain about, the crowding and the line con at Akon and the Fort Worth Convention Center, yeah, that's not even a fraction of what was at Kay Bailey. And by Kay Bailey, I mean Kay Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center in downtown Dallas, which is where it was. Kay Bailey is probably the largest center for, conventions and workshops and meetings and all sorts of things. It's basically the largest meeting space in Dallas. And there were a lot of people before I even got to the building. I saw tons of people, many of them in costume, many of them with badges on, of course, you could tell they were with Fan Expo, walking down the street because they had to park several blocks away because there was no parking anywhere. I didn't realize that not only can you have one-way streets, but you can have one-way parking lots where the lanes are so narrow, you can literally only drive one direction so that when somebody goes the wrong direction, you can't go anywhere, especially if there's somebody behind you and you can't back up. That was how I started my day. They were honking at me. It's like, what do you want me to do? I can't back up. There's someone behind me and I can't go the other direction. But I did manage to find a place to park. Thankfully, they did not gouge anybody on parking, which, if you've ever been to a convention, sometimes they like to change the parking price on you, like the day of the convention or during the convention. Thankfully, everything was published up front and everything stayed the same price. So good on them for that one, at least. I did notice that there was a distinct lack of signage. So if you went on their website first, which I'll give them props, Fan Expo has a great website. Everything is laid out very neatly. There's maps, there's schedules that are very easy to find. It's easy to find pricing for everything. You can go buy tickets, see who's going to be there, all the different panels and workshops and such. So everything on the website's great. When you get there, if you don't happen to have the app in front of you that they want you to download or an internet connection, you're pretty much SOL because there wasn't very much in the way of physical signage on the site. So I'm kind of thanking myself that I went and looked at their map first on their website so that I knew at least what section of the building that I needed to go to. Because, of course, the convention center is so large, it has six sections that have completely different wings that you can go to. And the signs will tell you these wings are this way, these wings are this way. So at least I managed to go in the right direction. And at that point, I basically just followed the crowd of people, which thankfully was ample so that I didn't really have to worry about where I was supposed to be going. I just kind of drifted along with the current, just keep swimming and such. And so I did manage to finally find the ticketing area, following all of the people. And there were quite a few staff members, and they all had very nice professional shirts on, so you could tell who was with the convention and who was staff and who wasn't. And all of them were very friendly and very willing to help you out. So kudos to them for having really good staff to help people out if you didn't know where the heck you were going, like me. And this was also the first convention I've been to that had a bag check. So they basically had you place your bags, so purse, backpack, bag of pretty much any size, where they can check it TSA style, basically. They didn't have it run through a scanner. They basically just kind of glanced, made sure that you weren't hiding anything contrabandish in there, and let you go, and emptied out your pockets, which I also did. So that was an experience. I didn't see very many cosplayers have that issue, because I don't think very many of them had backpacks like I did. I went in casual clothing, and as warm as it was that weekend, I'm actually kind of glad I did. The press booth was very well labeled. Hint, hint, other conventions that are local to us. It was very well labeled and right in front, and I checked in very quickly. I think I was in and out in about 2 minutes. It was awesome. And yes, they do give us this nice badge. This is a hard badge. And it has a little chip inside so that they can scan it wherever you go. And they do give you the lanyard, by the way. The badge has the schedule on the back of it, the general schedule of the convention. It's not a specific schedule or anything like that. One of the kind of odd things that I came across that I've never come across at a con before is that you have to register your badge online before you can use it. You basically go to their website and there's a registration code on the badge, which I have taped over, so don't get any ideas trying to rewind through our footage. You basically go on, you enter your little code, and that registers your badge. And anytime you entered or left the convention space area, the entire convention space area, not each door, just the convention at large, they would scan your badge with a little short distance reader. And that way they can track attendance. But I did notice that they didn't do that whenever you entered panel rooms or if you went in and out of the exhibit hall like other conventions. There were no guards whatsoever at all the other doors. Like you didn't pass anybody. That felt a little bizarre. It felt kind of like I was cheating the system, even though I totally wasn't. It just felt weird. As soon as I got into the hall, or as soon as anybody, basically passed the first badge check-in point, the first space you entered is the artist alley and the dealer's den and the exhibit hall, which were all kind of thrown together. And holy cow, that is a large, large, large dealer's den. Any sort of nerdy merch that you could want to buy, you could pretty much find in there. Everything that you can find at your typical local anime nerdy convention, and then some, yeah, it was there.
I was about to say for the RFID chips in the badges, it's something that gaming conventions have been doing for a number of years, PAX in particular, RTX does it too, but more conventions are starting to utilize that technology. It's kind of like their way to prevent and make sure that the people who are coming in are the ones who bought the legitimate badges that are not ripping them off or just printing out their own badges and making their own. So I'm not surprised that Fan Expo is moving to that type of system. I did want to ask you though that once you got past that first badge checkpoint, is that where all the panel rooms were, or were they in a...
No.
Oh, okay, that's different from last year then.
Correct. And I guess I can move into talking about that portion a little bit. When you first entered, which they kind of funneled you through a checkpoint, so there was kind of a small alleyway, as it were, created by partitions that they put up. You basically had two directions you could go, left and right. On the right-hand side was something they called DigiCon. Basically, it was meant to be a sort of workshop area where they had a projection of the speaker up behind them on a large screen, and they would have YouTubers and other influencers, as it were, who produce digital content typically come in and either give a presentation or a workshop. To get into DigiCon cost you extra. It was not free. You could not just walk in. That was an add-on to your badge that you would have to purchase. And I know that they did the chainmail workshop in there. So at least some of the cosplay workshops were actually held in the DigiCon area. Now, granted, I did not pay for that, so I did not go in there. So I went the other direction, which is into the artist alley slash dealer's den slash exhibit hall. So they basically funnel you very quickly into the commerce area. To get to the panel area, you had to exit the exhibit hall, turn around, walk the length the other direction in the convention center, and then go downstairs.
Oh. That's really different from years past. Really different.
Yes. And it made it seem very isolated. So they had two sections for the panel areas. They had wing A for some of the panels, and then they had wing C. A was downstairs. So a lot of those panels, I think, didn't quite get the attendance that they expected because it wasn't obvious that one, A was downstairs, and two, that there were panels going on down there, and hey, there's a downstairs area to this convention center too, since most of the stuff was on one floor. The convention center has multiple floors, for those who don't know, and it's not always obvious that you can go up and down stairs to get to the other levels. There are escalators everywhere, incidentally. I didn't see very many elevators, but there were escalators, and unlike anime conventions, they were all working the entire time. You didn't have to worry about them being turned off, which was awesome, let me tell you. Now, the exhibit hall is clearly the focus of the convention, or at least it seemed like the focus of this convention. They wanted you to buy stuff. They wanted you to shop around. They wanted you to see stuff. They wanted you to see guests. This was the experience portion of the con, and Fan Expo is very centered around the experience of the fan. They want you to have an experience, not just like go there for a con. They want you to do all the things and experience all the things and enjoy all the things. So, of course, the first portion, the largest portion, was artists and dealers. So buy things, buy prints so that you can go get them signed, etc., etc. Behind that area was the cosplayers' alley. This is where they set up all of the cosplay guests. They had them in a straight line all the way across the back in two rows facing each other, and each one had their own table. I noticed that most of the cosplayers didn't seem to have very much at their table. Those who had prop-heavy costumes or armor costumes had those to present, but not many cosplayers had very much else. And it made me feel kind of bad for them because a lot of the tables were empty. And I don't mean empty of things, I mean empty of people. There weren't people standing there talking to them, basically asking them about their cosplay. Now, to be fair, there were several cosplayers that were missing, probably because they were doing panels. So they may not have simply been at their table due to that. I did notice, and this actually really made me happy. I was so happy to see this. A lot of the cosplayers had backdrops against which you could take really nice pictures. It wasn't just, having a prop in front of you. It was a full-on detailed screen printed background that was really nice to take pictures against. And I noticed a lot of the kids were having their pictures taken against some of the backdrops. So that was really neat. That made me very happy. I like it when fans can kind of interact and have their picture taken with the cosplay guest. That's really fun. So that said, in the same area as the cosplay guests, they also had mock-up vehicles. So you could take a picture in the Millennium Falcon. You could take a picture in a Landspeeder. They had the Jurassic Park Jeep. They had a couple of different mock-up vehicles where you could also take pictures in them or against the backdrop with them. I don't know if they charged for those pictures or not, but it was also a sort of cosplay type experience where you could get that sense of realism in your picture without having to Photoshop it. Behind them were all of the voice actor guests and the celebrities. So basically, once you got all the way to the back of the exhibitors, you had the autograph section. And this is also where they had quite a bit of people. Everybody basically congregated all the way throughout all the walkways. There really wasn't very much space to move, I'll be honest. So even if you had cosplayers, and let me say that please don't take photos in very crowded walkways in exhibit halls because then nobody moves at all. It's like being in a traffic jam. Nobody likes being in a traffic jam. People still did it at Fan Expo. So I would ask, please, as a courtesy, move off to the sides, please, so that we can keep walking down these really narrow aisles, especially in the celebrity area. And I made very sure to cover my camera lens and point it down as I was walking in the celebrity area, because they actually had extra staffers over there as assistants. I think they were there to basically make sure there weren't any drive-by photos taken of the celebrities, since they actually had an area where you could purchase, photo ops and autograph opportunities with the guests. And of course, the vendors all had prints and such that you could purchase and have those autographed too. Once you got past that area, then you reached the end of the hall and you could go out. So, like I said, there was nobody there, to scan badges as you left. You just walked out, and if you wanted to, you could turn around and walk right back in. Nobody would stop you. It's just an open door. If you went out the hall and then circled around, that's where I finally found the cosplay red carpet. It wasn't labeled at all, and it was easily overlooked, even though, yes, it was actually a red carpet. And there was a little line of stanchions that kind of outlined it on one side, and it was a standard Fan Expo backdrop against it. But it only looked to be maybe 25, 30 feet at the most. And it was backed up against the wall, and it was next to a photo booth, a professional photo group. So if there were a lot of people walking by, it was actually really easy to miss. And I feel bad because I wanted more people to have the experience of walking the carpet. And I also would have liked it if it was a little bit more of a catwalk where you could have both sides taking photos and watching the red carpet instead of just having them against a wall, almost like it is in the award shows, basically, where they're up against the backdrop and everybody's taking pictures of them against the backdrop.
Yeah, I will interject at this point because that used to be how Fan Expo did it, and they still do this for the fall event. What I think it's that one's Dallas Comic Con. I get confused because they kept switching the names so much, but that's what they used to do with it. But now it seems like they keep pushing that aspect further and further away and kind of out of people's reach, because that used to be really, really cool. They would tell the cosplayers, "Hey, everybody gather at this time. You can walk the red carpet, get your picture taken." I mean, that used to be a really a lot of fun. Everybody appreciated it, and that's pretty much kind of been funneled aside for other things. It's all about spend more money in the expo hall and stand in line for 8 hours. Just kind of unfortunate.
I did notice in general that there seemed to be fewer cosplayers than I would have expected given the number of people. It seemed like a lower percentage of people were in cosplay. Now, that said, if you wanted to take photos of the cosplayers, the best place to plant yourself was actually right at the exit to the exhibit hall because that's where everybody came out, even if they were in costume. So if you wanted to stop them to get their picture, that was the best place. And so for a little while, I actually planted myself right there at the exit doors. One of the things I did not get to take a picture of because the person was on their way to a panel and they asked that I not take a picture and slow them down, so I didn't. Somebody had a wheelchair that had, I don't even know, a DeLorean built around it. Full LEDs, everything looked computerized. The thing was gorgeous. I wanted a picture so bad. I have never seen anything like this. It was a full DeLorean. It was not just like a console, it was the whole thing. Oh my gosh. It
Yeah,
was so cool.
that one is from Magic Wheelchair, and I ended up retweeting it because I saw a Cosplay in America. I had tweeted it out, and I was like, "That is really, really cool." And that's their whole gig is they've been doing this for a couple of years, is they raise money so that way they can build these cool costumes for kids in wheelchairs. I'm like, "That is so neat." I didn't know they were going to have one at Fan Expo. It looked really cool.
It did in person. It was wonderful, and I was really happy for the kid because he looked like he was having a blast in the best possible way.
Nice.
So, aside from the cosplay red carpet, and of course, there were a couple of professional photo booths that were set up, outside they had what they call the cosplay photo park. This is basically where you had group meetups. So, all the different fandoms, if you wanted to have hey, let's all take photos together. That was basically where they went. And so it was outside. It wasn't really in a park per se. So a little bit misnamed, although there was definitely, green area, you know, there was a green belt right outside the doors. They did have the statuary fenced off. I don't think they wanted anybody messing with it. But there was plenty of green space out there if you wanted to go have individual photos taken, or if you just wanted to have a smaller group session away from everybody else. But again, no signs. There was nothing telling you that was the cosplay photo park, except that I happened to catch the tail end of the DC photo shoot. And that was how I knew it was the photo park. Also, the doors are all locked from the outside. So you had to wait until somebody came out so that you could go back in the building. That was not cool. Please unlock at least one or two of the doors next time, Fan Expo, please, so we can get back inside.
We want you to come back inside so you can spend more money.
Or at least cool off from, you know, the heat outside. So, speaking of coming back inside and cooling off, one of the things that I would like to encourage Fan Expo to do, and of course, all of this is constructive criticism. None of this is meant to like bash the con. You know, it's a fantastic con. The food vendors were all very snacky. There was cinnamon roasted nuts, there was Dippin' Dots, and there was Starbucks. That pretty much covers the snacks. There was one stand that had acai bowls, and that was the healthiest of the bunch. Basically, if you went around to the different concession stands, at which there were all really long lines, I don't think I would have stood in those lines to get food or drink myself, just because it would have taken forever. But I would encourage Fan Expo to please have more healthy options, even if they're, you know, small things like pitas or. I mean, when I've been to San Antonio, they have little things like Denny's Express or McDonald's Express where you can have a much smaller operation but still offer more types of food that's a little more substantial and that people who have specialized diets have options at, or, you know, work with food trucks. And I know sometimes city regulations don't allow it, but it would be better if there were food trucks just to give additional options outside of just standard snack concessions. Especially for those like me who can't have the things like cinnamon roasted nuts because they're full of sugar. So that would be my ask from them. I did happen to go downstairs, because there is a downstairs area in Kay Bailey, and I had a look at the panel rooms. And I actually looked in on one of the cosplay panels. Saturday didn't have too many cosplay panels. Most of the workshops were actually on Friday, and of course I didn't get a chance to go on Friday. When I looked inside the panel rooms, they were mostly empty. And I feel really bad because they had a really good spread of different types of panels and workshops. The one that I stopped into was cosplay competition tips and tricks. And the people who were in the room had thought it was for an actual competition. They didn't know it was a tips and tricks panel. And they were not the only cosplayers to ask about that. And so I think there was quite a bit of confusion on when the actual competition was, which, given the fact that there were no hard copies of the schedule, again, if you didn't have internet access to access either their app or the website, you were SOL. They did have the schedules posted on boards standing in front of each room. Good job. That is a good thing, at least for most of the rooms that I saw. There was just nobody in the room to attend the panel, and that's what made me feel bad. I also noticed it was mostly empty down there, as though people didn't know there was a downstairs. Very few people in general, like not just cosplayers, but anybody. For some reason, when I went downstairs, it smelled a little bit like sewage. I don't know if it was a temporary thing or not. It wasn't the most pleasant thing in the world. But it wasn't quite as bad once you got back up the escalator. So I don't know if maybe they were just having an issue downstairs. Other than that, I basically stayed for about 2 hours, mostly because, you know, I tend to attend conventions either to network with friends, and my friends were not there, or to attend panels, and most of the cosplay panels were not on Saturday. So I spent a couple of hours taking pictures, just kind of taking in the sights, seeing everything. I know that there was gaming going on, as I took pictures of, you know, one of the Magic the Gathering banners because I believe they had magic tournaments going on as well. So there was plenty to do there, just I kind of felt a little overwhelmed because there were so many people. And so more or less I took my leave after that. Also because I didn't want to spend too much time in the dealer's center, I might want to spend money. They had some really nice things in there, you guys. It's very tempting, but I don't have the budget at the moment. So all in all, you know, Fan Expo is definitely built for the fan experience. If you have celebrities that you like to see, if you enjoy spending time with fellow fans of certain series or certain entities, if you enjoy just kind of having the nerd experience, being able to purchase nerdy things and see nerdy workshops, and basically just have a day of, you know, laying it all out there, then Fan Expo is for you. Just make sure that you do take plenty of funds and plenty of patience, and also a really good pair of walking shoes because Hey Bailey is large. The convention center is going to require a lot of walking out of you, and I was pretty sore by the end of the day. Back forth, back forth, back forth. But it was a good experience.
I also wanted to ask you, the kid zone. Somebody told me that that was located inside the expo hall this year, but it
It
was near the
was.
celebrity area.
It was.
That
So
sounds really dangerous.
they had what they called the family zone. And more or less, as far as I could tell, it was basically just a large gaming area. And by gaming, I mean a bunch of consoles, Nintendo consoles that had quite a bit of Smash Brother type games set up where you can have co-op play. And it was set up kind of in a U shape. And it was facing the voice actor area. So basically, the two areas were facing each other. Now, there was a large gap of distance between the two. So there wasn't any chance of crowding, you know, unless, you know, William Shatner had been on the front, but he was actually on the back row. Even with, you know, the number of people, it didn't ever seem crowded like the Artist Alley area is. So they still had ample space. I didn't see very many people using the consoles. Most of the time when I saw kids, they were with their parents, like wandering around the hall.
Yeah, because I noticed reading online, a couple of people were concerned about its location because the one thing that they've done in previous years is that they had a quiet area. So if you had kids who had sensory deprivation issues or who just needed a moment to kind of rest because it is a very overwhelming experience, you could go to the family area, you could have a quiet time, you can recharge that way. And so I was thinking, well, if it's in the expo hall with all of these people and all of these sounds and all of these sights, that defeats the purpose of having the quiet area
It
in
was not quiet whatsoever. It was
the.
totally not quiet. I do not remember seeing a quiet room at all. I do not know that they even had one.
They may have nixed it because they had to keep it in the expo hall this year.
Potentially, but I didn't see a quiet room like in general at all. Even for, you know, people who have social anxiety. Some cons have started having those. I didn't see one. I also, you know, now that I think about it, I wanted to mention that I believe Peter Mayhew was scheduled to be at the con.
He was, yes, because he was a local. He lived in North Texas, so
It
it was
was the most
unfortunate.
heartbreaking thing to see his booth still set up, and they had a large memorial in front of it. And I couldn't even take a picture because it was so heartbreaking. And there was a large line of people who were lined up. I think they must have had some sort of remembrance book that people were
Yes.
writing in.
Yes, they did that, and then they had a little donation pool for his charity so people could donate to that.
Yes, and they did have one of the assistants over there to help people out.
It was heartbreaking. It's unfortunate. The man had a number of health issues, but he tried. He was always a good guy, and he's the nice thing was because he was local to us. Like I've been able to see him and meet him on multiple occasions without even like trying to meet him. It's just like, oh, hey, that's Peter Mayhew. So it's unfortunate, and it was sad, and it's bad timing. But you know, it's life. That's the sad part. It's life. But it was also nice that they stepped up and they did that, you know, and they didn't just brush it aside. They went ahead and they did memorial, and somebody was like, hey, let's start the book. Hey, let's start the donation fund. Like they kept that going, which was sweet.
So all in all, yeah, that was my experience at Fan Expo. It was just overwhelming in a word.
That's a nice way of putting it. And it's interesting to always hear about how people experience it for the first time, because I went to Fan Expo back when it was Dallas Comic Con and it was in the Irving Convention Center, which is like only a quarter of the current size that Fan Expo is now. And to see how quickly it has grown since being at Kay Bailey and how much it has changed, and then the number of big name guests that they bring in, it's just like, it's still overwhelming to me. And I've been going for many, many years. So I'm glad that you had a chance to actually experience it. This is the other side of things, where it's mostly about meeting the celebrities and spending all the money you have in your pocket.
It was kind of nice to just in passing see some of my, childhood favorites. You know,
Yeah.
Sean Astin was there and Phil Lamar was there. It was nice to see them.
Now you've experienced the other side.
It is definitely not for people who have social anxiety
Good Lord,
or
no.
claustrophobia.
No, start out tiny and then work your way up, because that's oof. And just looking at the website, because I'm looking at the layout is very different from how they've had it in years past. And I could see why people would not have wanted to go to the panel rooms, because for prior years, the panel rooms was on the exact same floor as the expo hall. So you just all you had to do was leave expo and oh, there's the panel rooms. The fact that they were in completely different locations, people weren't going to go downstairs to see them. They're going to stand in line to get their autographs and get their photos.
Right. And most of the people did seem to be spending their space on the same floor as the exhibit hall, which I think was kind of the point.
Once you get in, you know, it's really hard to one leave to get something and then come back, because then you have to go through all the security procedures again. And it's like, I don't really want to mess with that. I'll just stay here.
Or you had to walk outside the building and then hope somebody else walked out so that you could get the door
Back
open
in.
and get back in.
They might want to look into that. That seems like kind of a problem. Maybe a fire hazard. I don't know.
I did notice, just kind of on an offhand note, that they had a lot of those rent scooters and bikes that
Yes.
you can rent. There were actually quite a few people using those to get around. And I think it would be kind of funny to have a cosplayer take photos with that sort of thing if your character does that sort of thing.
Right? It'll happen.
I'm sure it will. Yes, it was definitely an experience. I was kind of exhausted by the end of it, and I wasn't even there that long.
Right. Yeah. And that's usually what happens, is that you just walk the length, or even if you do like one way and back, and you're just like, okay, I'm tired now. I need a break. That's pretty normal.
Although, speaking of convention appearances,
We
I
have
know.
one.
Yes, we do, and I know we've already announced it, but just as a
But
reminder.
as a reminder, we are going to be at SeaCon, which is going to be on June 1st. So that's only a couple of weeks away.
Yay!
So make sure to stop by and see us. You can find out the full details. We have it linked on our Facebook page, as well as on our website in our upcoming convention schedule. So check it out. It's a one-day library con. We're really excited that we're going to be there. We'll be hosting a panel. Val will probably be on another panel. So there you go. There's that too. We're still trying to figure out what other stuff we're going to have on our table, but we have our bookmarks, because it's a library con. So of course we're going to have cool bookmarks. And I got stickers, and I have our brand new business cards, which I'm still very happy with. I'm showing them off wherever I can. I feel like an Uber dork, but I'm like, look at what I made. Aren't these cool? So yeah, come see us at SeaCon. We're really looking forward to it. I love this location too. It's a really nice library.
So that's all we have for this episode 188 of Cospod the Podcast for all things cosplay. If you would like to tell us about your local Comic-Con experience, or tell us about your local library and how cool it is and all the things that they have to help you make cosplay, you can of course join us on any of our social media, which you can find here.
And back to Amber.
You can also discuss it with us and a bunch of our other friends on our Discord channel, which we heartily encourage you to join. Lastly, if you prefer, you can also email us podcast at cospod.org, where you will promptly get two answers because we love you that much. But otherwise, we hope everybody is having a wonderful time working on their cosplay. We hope everything is going well. And of course, we will see you next time in episode 189 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, guys.